Good evening. Am I on? That's working? Perfect. As was said this evening, I want to talk to you guys about the topic of perseverance. I just want to say I appreciate each and every one of your attendance here tonight. It is always uplifting to have so many people here. And of course, I appreciate the opportunity, as always, to bring forth a lesson here at Rosedale. So, I'm going to start off like this. Perseverance, defined in the dictionary, is steadfast in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Many of you probably have no idea who that guy is. His name is Derek Redmond, and Derek Redmond is from Great Britain. And many of you don't notice that picture of him, but you may recognize that one. Excuse me. It was the Summer Olympics of 1992. It was the quarterfinals of the 400-meter British sprint, British athlete Derek Redmond was one of the favorites for the gold medal. A lifetime of training had brought him to this moment. The starter's gun fired and the athletes burst out of the blocks. Halfway through the race, Derek Redmond was leading. Then disaster struck. Derek tore his hamstring and collapsed on the track. The agony on his tear-streaked face was both physical and mental. It was a crushing blow. Medical attendants ran to his assistance. Derek waved them away. He came to the race, and he was going to finish. He got to his feet and started hobbling down the track. The crowd was mesmerized. Officials didn't know what to do. And then an older man ran to the track. He brushed off officials who tried to stop him. He ran up beside Derek and placed his arms around him. The man and the man in the picture is Derek Redmond's father, Jim. Excuse me. "You don't have to do this, son," Jim said. "Yes, I do," Derek replied. "Then we'll finish the race together," came the response from Derek's father, and arm in arm with agony on Derek's face and tears in his father's. Derek and Jim continued down the track. Derek buried his face in his father's shoulders. His father's strong shoulders carried his son physically and emotionally. Jim waved away officials who tried to stop them, and finally, accompanied by a now roaring crowd, standing on their feet and applauding, Derek Redmond crossed the line with his father. It became the defining moment of the 1992 Summer Olympic Games in Barcelona, Spain. So, again, I want to say that perseverance is steadfast in doing something despite difficulty. And steadfast means unwavering. Do you ever wonder why some people succeed in having their prayers answered? Do you ever wonder why, when Justin Flint prays, it seems like his prayers get answered? When we can, and of course, that's just an example, but do you ever wonder why that happens? Do you ever wonder why some people have so much a greater understanding of God's Word, of the Bible, than others? I ask that guy a question, and he can quote book, chapter, and verse. Do you ever wonder why some reach more souls for Christ? When that man studies with people, they seem to get it. When he preaches, they seem to answer that gospel call and come down front. Is it skill? Is it genius? Or is it just simply luck? The answer, I believe, is suggested in a quote by the 30th President of the United States of America, Mr. Calvin Coolidge. He says, "Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. They have unlimited power. The slogan, "Press On or Never Give Up," have solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew's account, in chapters 6, 7, and 8, Jesus Christ talked about perseverance. And he especially talks about it in reference to prayer. So I want to talk to you about the principles of perseverance. And in going back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verses 7 and 8, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open." This, of course, is not saying those who sought or those who will seek. This is all present tense. That means right now. That means continued action on our parts. How often are we told that through the Bible, that right now is the time that we need to do something? We have to take some type of action, and we need to do it right now. He's telling us to seek, to ask, and to knock. So Jesus is literally saying, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. You have to make it known what you want. You know, you think about work. And if you work at a place and there's a promotion coming up, and you don't apply for it, no one knows that you want it. Or you never talk to your boss about the openings that may be in the future. You have to ask to find out. So Christ is saying, keep on asking and it will be given to you. He's saying, keep on seeking and you will find. If you don't take that action and seek after something and try to find what you're looking for or try to accomplish what you're asking for, you're not going to get it. And he's saying, keep on knocking. If you want something on the other side of that door, they have to know that you want in. They have to know that you want it open. Notice here the progression of terms. Asking, of course, is the first level. Going back to the job opportunity, if you don't make it known that you want that job or you want that promotion, no one's going to know. And I'll reference this a couple times. You think about children. Is there a child in here that fails to ask mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or aunt and uncle or whomever what they want for their birthday? No, they don't. With children, you're going to know what they want. Their birthday is in January. They're going to ask you in June and tell you what they want for the next birthday. So asking, of course, is one level, and it is the first level of inquiry. Seeking is moving up a notch, and this is where asking takes action. I've asked for something, and now I am seeking to find that, or I'm seeking to achieve that. And knocking persists in finding a solution. Again, persistence. We have to be persistent and we have to persevere in our Christian life and in our daily life. This is required, of course. I think that you can put these three steps of asking, seeking, and knocking in just about any venture in this physical life and on your spiritual life. So, perseverance is particularly relevant in the matter of prayer. And we're told, whoa, I skipped a bunch there. I already talked about that. So perseverance is particularly relevant in the matter of prayer in Matthew, the 7th chapter. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, good things to those who ask him? If you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, and you know how to give gifts to them, how much more will your Father in heaven give those that ask him? If we ask for these things, we're going to receive. And a couple examples of perseverance and persistence. In Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 5 through 8, Christ gives us a parable here, and he says, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and I and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Not because it was his friend did he wake up at midnight and give him what he wanted. Not because he was his friend, but it's because of his persistence. And you can say that about anybody in here. If I came to your house at 2 o'clock in the morning and was knocking on your door, you're probably going to ignore it for a little while. You might get up and we don't, you know, I don't know. But if my persistence is there and you come to that door, what's the first thing's going to be? If you knew it was me, you'd say, what do you want so that you will leave me alone? What can I give you to make you go away? It's exactly what we're being told here. Persistence works. It wasn't because he was the man's friend. It's because of his persistence that he got out of bed and gave him the loaves. And in Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray to not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city. And she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said to himself, within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. I'm going to stop right there. It's not because he feared God, because he thought something would happen to him because of God. It's not because he regarded or respected man. It's because of her persistence. Persistence paid off. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry to him day and night? Talk about persistence and perseverance. Day and night. Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Persistence works. Principle of persistence, perseverance, is very apparent in Bible study. Too many people give up on Bible study because guess what? It's hard. Those things don't just come right over. You have to study and you have to apply yourself and you have to think and you have to not let someone else think for you, and nobody's doing the work for you. You have to do it yourself. And that's hard. And that's difficult. And perseverance, again, is being unwavering when something is difficult. So too many people give up on Bible study. And do we study as often as we should? Or do we study as much as we should? Or are we one of those that gave up or gives up at times because it's just, I don't want to have to do that. I don't have time for that. And I'm not saying anything. It's hard to make the time to do stuff. But Bible study is one of those things you have to. This is number one in your life, or should be number one in your life. And we're told in Psalm, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He meditates in God's law day and night. He perseveres. It may be difficult, and the things of this life may get difficult, but he meditates on God's law day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We're shown that we are like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. It does exactly what it's supposed to do when it's supposed to do it. Certain things in, you know, in Bakersfield, we know when the almonds, at least I know when the almonds come into bloom, because my allergies start just wailing on me. But that's exactly what God has created those trees to do, is to come into bloom, and then we reap what has grown. The things that brings forth the fruit in its season. And I want you to focus on that last part. And whatever he does shall prosper. Those that persevere are the ones that have benefit. In Psalm 119, chapter verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Sound familiar? How close is the devil at all times? How close is the temptation, the trials and tribulations of this life? I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients or aged, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Again, I want to focus on your testimonies are my meditation. And I meditate on them all day. We persist. And when these things come up that are difficult, and we're not achieving exactly what we want to achieve at that time, are we pressing forward? Are we never giving up? Are we constantly being persistent? Principles of perseverance are also very apparent in evangelism. And that's another one I looked up in the dictionary, and this is the dictionary definition. It says the spread of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. Now, there's not everybody wants to get up here and preach. Not everybody wants to get up and lead a prayer. But the dictionary says it's or personal witness. It's how you live your life. Are you caving to these trials and tribulations, or are you persevering in this life whenever things get tough? Some may bear no fruit because they or we gave up. We just simply throw our hands up and we don't want to do it anymore. It's too hard. I want to do what I want to do. This physical man just wants to do certain things, and I'm tired of bearing my cross. I'm tired of not getting to do what I want to do. My father has told me since I was a kid, and I've said it in lessons before, and I'll say them again, and I know he'll say it again. If you want a recipe for disaster, do what comes natural. This physical man wants to be and do everything that brings pleasure. So some bear no fruit because they gave up. And we may bear no fruit because we never started. Because we never tried to evangelize. We never tried to live a life that was showing Jesus Christ, that was trying to mirror the life of Jesus Christ and the example that was given to each and every one of us. We never started that. We never wanted to talk about God at work. We never wanted to talk about God at wherever we were. I can listen to somebody preach for 2 hours on Sunday, and we'll listen to a class on Wednesday, but that is it. I'm done with it. We need to be careful of giving up, and we need to be careful to make sure that we start, that we live that life, that we constantly strive to persevere in this life. We reap what we sow. I don't have a slide up there, but in Galatians, the 6th chapter and verse 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. If we do not lose heart, if we persevere, we are going to be able to reap." Vance Milwee and I were talking about this right before he left. I don't remember if he did it in a lesson or if it was just me and him talking. I can't remember. But Vance said, and this is kind of the point I want to make. Basically, we were talking about how we're constantly striving to sow that seed, to plant the seeds in other people about Jesus Christ. Okay? We're constantly striving to sow that seed every single day. And at some point, that seed hopefully someone will reap that seed. And in the world of farming, if you plant it, you want to reap it. And that's the same here. But in Christianity, if I've planted seeds in somebody, if I have taught them something about God and that works in their mind, Okay? And they get a job somewhere else and move, and they find themselves walking into the Lord's church. And the preacher says something that hits them just right, and they come down to the front and they're baptized. I sowed that seed. So did that preacher, and he got to reap, and that's okay. And sometimes it happens the opposite way. Someone else has sowed all that seed, and you get to reap. You get to baptize them. You get to let them be a member of the congregation and work with you and watch them grow and help them grow. We're always going to sow, and hopefully always going to reap. And the more you reap, the more you sow. If you sow 100,000 seeds and 99,999 of them do not grow, guess what? One grew. If we're talking about souls and that's the seed that you've sown, one soul obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're told that the angels rejoice, and so will we. I'll talk about the motive of perseverance. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 9 through 11, it says, "And what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" We've talked about this already, but it's so powerful. We understand how to give good gifts to our kids. We understand how to give good gifts to our family members, our friends, all these things. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? God truly delights in giving good gifts, in giving things to His children. And what does God have to offer? The one thing that should always come to mind is salvation. He gives us the free gift to be at home, truly at home with Him in heaven. The free gift of His Son that He sent down to be crucified on a cross, to die a horrible death for our sake. He delights in giving good things to His children. Jesus gave an argument here from the lesser to the greater. Men give good gifts to their children that ask. Again, going back to birthdays, kids are not going to let you forget what they want for their birthday. "Hey, Dad, I know I've got this in my not-so-distant future. Hey, Dad, I know what I want." "I'm sure you do, son. What do you want?" "Well, I want a car." "Yeah, you know, tough." It's a lesson that we can learn from children because they're always going to ask. They're never going to let you forget what they want. We need to do the same and ask God for what we want and make sure that we're asking Him. We have the avenue of prayer to talk to God. We need to make sure that we're asking Him for what we want in this life. "Help me grow closer to You. Help me study Your Word more." And the more that you talk about these things, the more that it's going to cause you to action. So we need to make sure that we ask God these things. And again, how much more will God give to His children? And we already talked about the gifts that He offers. And the motive for perseverance is especially true in prayer. Jesus promised His disciples in John, the 15th chapter, in verse 7, "If you abide in Me and My words in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." If you ask what you desire, He says it's going to be done. You're going to get it. But let's not forget the beginning of that. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you. If My word is written on your heart, and that's the way that you're living your life, you have Christ at the forefront of everything that you do, everything that you walk, talk, and act with the mind of Christ, the words that you have studied. Jesus promised His disciples that what they desire will be done. And of course, that is conditioned on us abiding in Him. You cannot If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, if you are part of my saved, you have to be in Christ. You have to reach Christ. You have to be in him to receive these things. And it's conditioned on his work and his word abiding in us. Again, the example that he has left us throughout the Bible. This is God's mind and written word. He has given us so many examples of how to live our lives and how to have that abide in our lives. We are told so many times to have his word written on our hearts. And that means that that's the way that you're going to act. Apostle John wrote in 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 14 and 15, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." I know that if I ask according to his will, he hears me. He knows what I'm asking for. He knows that I have that prayer to him. And you know what? It has to be according to his will. It's conditioned on us asking something according to God's will. You know, I think the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about this is so many people here and at all the many churches that I've been to pray and say something at the end of their prayer that is so hard for me to say sometimes. They pray for the sick and the afflicted, the family member, the brother in Christ that has an incurable disease, cancer, whatever it may be. And they pray for the comfort and please bless the means being used upon them and be with them and their family. And at the end of their prayer, they say, "Your will be done." And the selfish part of me says, I don't want to say that. Because what if God's will is that they're not here anymore? That's something I have to come to terms with. We need to understand that it's not about us. It's about God. And it's about the will that he has. And we need to understand his will. And we need to ask according to his will. And this assumes that we know his will. And his word, again, abides in us. That we actually study his word and find out what he wants us to do. Just as Jesus Christ said when he was being offered up, "Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Don't make me do it. I'm not looking forward to this. But again, not my will. Thine be done." James wrote in the 4th chapter in verse 3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Again, you ask of these things of God and you don't receive them. And then the physical side of us says, "Well, dang it, that didn't work. I'm not happy about that. I want my prayers answered." Because you ask amiss, you didn't ask for the right things. You're not in the right state of mind. You didn't ask for it to be in the will of God. You ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Again, coming back to the selfishness that is this physical man, we need to be careful. We need to quit asking for selfish gain. And you know what? I've said this before, and I still think this every day of my life. I feel like if we could get selfishness out of each and every person's lives, it would solve just about every, if not every single problem. Because it's so much about how I feel and what happened, and it's not the way I wanted it to be. We need to quit asking for selfish gain. And the last part of that, and I think this is something that you need to examine yourself, because I've been guilty of this many a time. If you don't have a good prayer life, many simply never ask. If you don't ask, you don't have the petitions, as we read in 1 John. He doesn't know what you want if you don't ask. We're given the avenue of prayer for a reason. We can ask God these things. So, to sum this up, Jesus Christ is telling us to keep asking. He's telling us to keep asking for the things that we want and the things that we need. He's telling us to keep on seeking, to put into action, to do something about what we're asking for. He's telling us to keep on knocking. If we want through that door, somebody on the other side of that door better know you're there. They've got to know you want in. And if that's the door of heaven, I'm going to hit that thing as hard as I can. We need to keep on praying. We know we have the petitions of God. If we ask Him and we ask according to His will, we need to know His will, but we need to keep praying. And we need to keep persevering. Sir Winston Churchill took 3 years getting through the eighth grade because he had trouble learning English. It seems ironic that years later, Oxford University asked him to address its commencement exercises. He arrived with his usual props, a cigar, a cane, and a top hat accompanied Churchill wherever he went. As Churchill approached the podium, the crowd rose in appreciative applause. With unmatched dignity, he settled the crowd and stood confident before his admirers, removing the cigar and carefully placing his top hat on the podium. Churchill gazed at his waiting audience, and authority rang from Churchill's voice as he shouted, "Never give up." Several seconds passed before he rose to his toes and repeated, "Never give up." His words thundered in their ears. There was a deafening silence as Churchill reached for his hat and his cigar, steadied himself on his cane, and left the podium. His commencement address was finished. What a powerful statement. Never give up. He said it twice and he was done. Perseverance in this world, through the hard times, we need to be unwavering. And we need to focus upon God and have His will in our heart at all times. And strive to be so close to Him that I act in such a way that He would be happy. So never give up. Be persistent. And I'll end it with this. Have you given up? Come back. Have you never started? Then the gospel call is not just for you, it's for everybody. So if you've never started, let us show you the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came and died. That there has been a free gift given to you and a price paid that only He could pay for the remission of your sins. And you have to reach Him in a watery grave of baptism to be saved. And what better time to do that than right now? So if you're subject to the invitation, if you need help in any way, if you have strayed away or you have given up and you need prayers and you need help, please come forward. And if you've never obeyed that gospel call, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for you, please come down front as we stand and sing. Mitch.
Glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Please be seated.